Hi, my name is Joe Jackson. Between the years 1990 and 2000, I did hundreds of interviews with musicians for the Irish Times in a slot that was originally called the Joe Jackson Interview. When Paddy Woodworth, the newspaper's arts editor, launched its now legendary Sound and Vision double-page spread, the name above the title idea was his. And I once said to Paddy, "Why me, Lord?" I was joking, though editors do like to be addressed that way. Paddy explained that he chose me primarily because we both believe that the arts should be central to political debate rather than relegated to the sidelines, and that as such, popular music, as an outgrowth of popular culture, could and should be explored from a socio-political perspective. What does that mean in real terms? Okay, by way of a lead-in to the tape I want to play, let me give you one or three examples. One of my peers in the newspaper was a renowned rock critic, and rightly so. He loved in particular American, British and Irish guitar-based bands such as U2, who are usually comprised of four white guys. Cool, we all loved such bands at one stage, I certainly did. But increasingly, cultural analysts, and not just feminists, had come to call such bands proponents of cock rock, with all the political ramifications that implies. And I agreed. No offence meant to anyone. So I set out to broaden the net, as it were, to get a gender balance. And I set out to get a genre balance, to give as much space to, for example, Irish traditional acts such as the Chieftains. And happily, Paddy Woodworth gave me the go-ahead to do so. And we agreed that space should not be given to musicians whose primary aim was to sell, say, a gig or a CD, though that is too often the norm in newspapers and magazines. They had to have a good and maybe even illuminating story to tell. Either way, that slot, which if only because it was a three-quarter page spread in the Irish Times, became much sought after, and it could help sell out a gig, or so Tony Bennett once told me. And that to me was the added bonus, especially as someone who became an interviewer to meet my music heroes. I now had access to virtually any musician I wanted to interview, including longtime heroes such as Bennett, Ray Charles, and Joni Mitchell. And even if all I got was a phone interview, something I usually rejected because it didn't lend itself to in-depth discussion, I was happy to say, you bet. What follows is one of my Irish Times interviews. Enjoy.
Hello there.
Hello.
Hello there. Yeah. Hi, it's Joe Jackson calling for Ray Charles, please.
This is Ray Charles speaking.
Good. I don't know if it's morning for you, I assume.
No, sir. I am in Portugal. So,
right.
So where are you?
I'm in Dublin, and I'm sorry I kept you waiting a couple of minutes.
You're in Ireland, right?
Yeah.
Oh, so you're 1 hour behind me.
Oh, that's all? Oh, yeah. Okay.
So it must be something 8 o'clock there, huh?
That's right. Well, I've just come back from the States where there's a 6 hour difference, so I'm kind of confused.
Right. No. I'm in Europe, same as you.
All right, then.
Okay.
So this is for the Irish Times, a kind of arts page I do every Friday.
Yes, sir.
So it's a major kind of music interview.
Yes, sir.
And what I'm going to do is about 2 months ago, I reviewed your album anyway. I gave that the center spot in my review section. Gave it a positive review.
I appreciate it.
So I'll end the set of questions by focusing on that, but I want to give some of our younger readers the sense of your history, if that's okay with you.
It's all right with me, sir.
Okay, and I'll tell you, I also want, before we start, to thank you personally, because I remember I had an album of yours in which you did a song called No Use Crying.
Yeah, that's right.
You remember that?
Yes, of course.
And there was a line on it where you said, "I'm trying to tell you there's no use crying."
That's right.
And you said it so much like my dad did that it helped me after he died.
Well, bless your heart, sir.
So, after all this time, I get to thank you.
Well, it's my pleasure.
Okay, so I'm just reading Jerry Wexler's book. Have you seen that?
No, I haven't. I've heard about it, but I haven't had a chance to read it.
Okay, well, your paragraph is called "Good God, Let Me Touch Ray Charles." You recognize the cry?
How interesting.
This apparently was a middle-aged black woman at a Fort Lauderdale show in the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where Jerry Wexler realized that you had something special going for yourself.
Yeah, well, bless his heart. Yeah, that's Jerry Wexler, all right.
Okay, well, you know the way he says in your book, he quotes you where you say that you took songs like Cow-Cow Boogie and you made them black again. They had been kind of appropriated by whites, but you've always said you never felt any anger at that kind of appropriation of black music by white musicians.
Yes.
That's the truth.
That's the truth. Why should I? I mean, there is no... I mean, music is music. You can't... See, the great thing about music, which, at least in my opinion, anyway, I don't know if I'm right about it, but I honestly believe the greatest thing on earth about music is there is no prejudice in it.
Right.
You know, the only thing... Once in a while, you'll find, and I have to tell you this because, you know... it's not the music now, don't misunderstand me.
Okay.
You will find, sometimes you'll find musicians,
all
right, instance, let's say for instance, sometimes you'll find classical guys, you
okay,
know, who sometimes don't, bless their hearts, they don't understand, and they think that their brand of music is the highest caliber of music, which is total bullshit. Okay? Because you see, you got to remember, I mean, there's all kinds of technical stuff. I mean, I'll tell a guy that plays classical music, I say, well, okay, then fine. If you think your music is above everything, let me introduce you to some Oscar Peterson or to some Art Tatum.
Right, right, right.
Tell me, what the hell can you do with that?
Sure, sure.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
Oh, I know you do, buddy. Okay, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
No, you don't have to. I want to hear this stuff from you, not from me. But isn't this part of when you got a great band together in the 50s for the Genius of Ray Charles and albums like that? You did want musicians also who could read.
That's right. Well, it makes it easier because, you see, if you can put the notes down, what you want to do, the reason you get certain musicians is not only because of their reading capabilities, but because of their feeling for the
right.
You got to remember... With music, see music. You can write music technically, but can you play? Like for instance, you take Bass's band.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they're playing notes, but man, they have so much feeling, and they can
sure.
swing you out of your seat.
Sure. Sure.
You couldn't keep still. You see what I mean?
Sure.
So it's the notes are there, true enough. But it's the way the cats deal with them notes.
All right. You know wasn't it I mean? Also the way those cats jumped in when you said, back me on a riff on something like, what did I say?
Yeah, that's right. Well, I mean, that's from the old school. When I came up, a lot of the musicians didn't read, but I mean,
right.
they could certainly set riffs. And a lot of your big bands in the 40s back in those days, I mean, a lot of the songs that you heard were hits where guys just set riffs, man. Like,
sure.
You know, and I mean, that was, it wasn't no music.
Right, right.
So I mean, that's what makes music so interesting, man. It's so great. Because, see, to be an all-around musician, in my opinion, not only must you read, of course, that's important, and I don't want to minimize it.
Right.
But you need to be able to hear.
Okay.
You need to be able to know. I mean, there are guys that can read their ass off, man. You know, they come in, but you know, you sit them down and you say, hey, man, listen to this.
Right.
There are guys who can sit there and just play what you're playing because they hear it. There are other guys who can read like hell, but they don't know where the hell you are, man.
Right. Well, you know the question I asked you about not feeling angry at whites, about yeah. Elvis, yeah. rock and roll, and even yeah. Van Morrison, he kind of cites you as the greatest influence in his life.
Yeah.
But you know, when I hear you sing What Have They Done to My Song, and you say they put it in a plastic bag and now it turned out all wrong, are you not a little bit angry?
Yeah, well, I mean, of course, that's, I didn't write the song. I mean,
but
you're
true in that line.
Although, I took a liking to it. Because, you know, it's just like, as a matter of fact, that song came from an album which was called A Message from the People, and a lot of things on there were kind of like protests.
Absolutely.
Songs which you got to do wrong. And
I love that album.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. And we, you know, so it was a lot of Hey Mister, you know,
right.
stuff in there. It was a lot of
Every Saturday Night, Take Me Home, Country Roads, all that.
That's right. Well, what I tried to do in that album was to say, hey, you know, America, you know, it's a beautiful, it's got a lot of shit wrong with it, a lot of things
right.
wrong with it. But then on the other hand, when you sift it out, it's still a beautiful country. That's why I did America the Beautiful on that album.
Right, right, right.
So, that was the idea behind that whole thing.
But you didn't feel like some critics have said that a lot of people did, if you excuse the word, bastardize your music by making it very anemic.
No. My feeling about people who will take the time to listen to Ray Charles or want to emulate Ray Charles, if that's the case,
right.
they must say they must really feel something that I'm doing.
Okay.
They want to be a part of it. And I like that because, I mean, we all have influences. I'm sure when you came up there, somebody influenced you in your business.
Well, you did. I just listened to you sing, and I said, if I can write like that, I'm okay.
Yeah, all right, baby. No, I mean, that's what it's all about. Like Nat Cole was
sure.
my influence, and
right.
Nat Cole and
right.
Charles Brown, you know.
All right.
Like Big Joe Turner and people,
right.
you know. See, these are the people that were very heavy in my life, and even in the country and western field. When I was a youngster, my mom would let me stay up every night to listen to what they call the Grand Ole Opry.
Sure. Well, you played in a hillbilly band, didn't you?
Oh yeah. See, when I was I always liked hillbilly music. See, hillbilly music, or country and western or whatever. You see, it was called hillbilly music when I was younger, but they gave it a new name, country and western. But anyway. That music is very plain, just like the blues is plain music.
Right.
And that's why it's not scholarly. I mean, it's not.
Right.
It's just everyday. If you know, you in a country western song or in a hillbilly song, a guy will say, "Hey, I missed you, baby, last night, and I went out and got drunk."
Right.
I mean, that's it. I mean, it's not decorated. You know, I mean, it's just the raw shit, man.
Well, what about the fact, you know, your Modern Sounds and country and western music albums were totally groundbreaking in terms of giving a different style of singing to country music, like you and Solomon Burke when he did Just Out of Reach.
Yeah.
I mean, didn't that change the way whites and blacks thought of country?
Yeah. My thing was, I think in order to really understand where I'm coming from,
right.
I think this would size me up pretty good if it. Here's my thing. You know, I am not, and I emphasize the word not.
Okay.
I am not a blues singer.
All right.
I am not a hillbilly singer or country western singer. I'm not a jazz singer. I am not a crooner. But so you say, well, okay then, Ray, then what the hell are you?
Okay.
What I am, a singer that can sing.
All right.
The blues. I am a singer that can sing country and western music. I am a singer that can sing jazz. Do you know what
I'm
trying to say?
Sure, you're a singer.
Yeah, what I'm saying, I'm not a specialist. I'm a singer.
Right.
Oh, you said it right. Thank you, man.
Okay.
I love you to death. That's what I'm trying to say. You said that's it. I am a singer.
All right. Okay.
Well, somebody once said to me, which is a compliment. I mean, I appreciate it. I don't know if I would go that far, but somebody once said to me, you know, Ray, you know, when I think of you, I think you're the kind of person that could sing a phone book.
Well, that's about all you haven't sung. But this,
like
you know, Sam.
Stretch me a little bit.
Okay, you know Sam Phillips, do you?
Yes.
He kind of told me that he believes that gospel rather than rhythm and blues is the spiritual base of popular music since 1955. You got hell for kind of integrating those heavenly musical modes into pop music, didn't you?
Yeah, but that was, you know. See,
Irish people will relate to that.
See, what happened, and I think you can probably, you must remember, anytime somebody comes up with something that is really different, I mean, it's just new, you're going to find, there's always going to be people who are going to, you know, who are going to rebel again. I mean, they're not going to like what you do.
Right.
See, a lot of people thought at the time that this was a pretense on my part.
All right.
Because I was trying to bastardize the church, you know.
Sure.
You know, sacral religious and all this stuff.
Right.
But that was not the case. See, what they didn't know was that I came up in the church. I came up in the Baptist church, and my whole total feeling was that way.
Right.
Between that and the blues, because that's all I heard when I was a kid.
Right.
So this was me. This was not Ray Charles, you know, say, coming out, and you know how you come out and you make believe on something, or you pretend something, or you act out something.
To make money.
You know, this was not, what I had been doing before I became myself, I was imitating, if you look back at some of my earlier records, you find where I was trying to imitate Nat Cole.
That's true, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because that was where I was coming from. I mean, I loved him so much, I would, you know, eat and sleep and dream and everything Nat Cole, you see?
Did you ever meet him?
I'm sorry.
Did you get to meet him and tell him that?
Oh, of course I did. I mean, eventually, you know, when I got a little name for myself, we were on some concerts together, and I got to meet. And I mean, he thought just like I would say. I mean, he thought it was a great compliment that I loved him so much.
So what gospel singers did you listen to then? Because you haven't mentioned those. What gospel groups?
There were people like the Swan Silver Moons, the Dixie Hummingbirds, that was the Five Blind Boys.
Sure.
I was trying to think the group to Sam Cooke was with the Swan
Soul Stirrers.
The Soul Stirrers.
Yeah.
Swans, yeah, that's right.
Right.
So I mean, and Albertina walking the caravans.
Right.
So I mean, these were, but mainly my thing. See, you got, like I said, my whole training though really came up in the church that I went to as a kid. See,
right.
I mean,
right.
I mean, these were just people that I heard that was on record.
All right. Right.
But I mean, the thing was, man. See, when you in those old Baptist churches, there was didn't have no piano, you know, no rhythm section at all.
Right.
They just went, everything was just all, I mean, boom, you just went out there and sung it, and the preacher started, hello, and then that is, man.
That's the soul of it all.
So I come up with that. So that was, the only thing was, you know, people just, they didn't know, bless their hearts. And of course, I, being the kind of person I was, I couldn't, I just had to say, hey, you know, I got to be myself because this is me. And people, I got a lot of flack, as you say.
Sure, I know, yeah. Yeah. Tell me, how does music become more important as a form of expression to someone who loses their sight?
Oh, I don't know about that. No, I don't believe nothing.
No?
I mean, no, come on. What the hell has sight got to do with anything? You know, if you are into something, you're into... See, disabilities don't have anything... I've never believed that disabilities have anything to do with anything.
Right.
I think if you, whatever you are, is what you are. If you're a writer, you know, I mean, I've heard people who have had what they call Lou Gehrig's disease, you know, where you just start deteriorating, but their brain works good, so they still write good. I mean, what you are is what you are, man. It's what you want to be in your life. The name of the game on this earth is to, somebody wrote a song called I'm Gonna Live Till I Die. I like that.
Frank Sinatra sang it.
You know, the name of the game is to live, because we all gonna die one day. Just like the flowers, the trees, everything to live on this earth is gonna die.
But Ray, when I hear you sing something like Gloomy Sunday, you seem to be down there in the pits of depression.
No. See, again, song, you gotta remember what we were talking about earlier. Mm-hmm. I'm a singer. I sing all kinds of stuff, you know. I sing songs that are very, very, very emotional. Gloomy Sunday, which, you know, Billie Holiday did that, man, and shocked the world with.
Yeah,
it,
I know.
You know? So, you know, but like I said, I sing things that I like. There are many songs that I don't sing, you know, because not that I don't like them, but I can't handle them for me.
Right.
You know.
But you must have felt that bad. I mean, we read the stories of your drug addiction. You must have felt that bad at one point.
Well, No. I've never been in the kind of depression that the song Gloomy Sunday dictates. I've never been in a thing wherein I wanted to do something to me or to hurt me or to harm me or to, you know...
To kill yourself.
And talk about, you know, no. See, my thing is, I just want to play music and get my point over to the world and live. So you can lose me when you know people start talking about suicide.
Okay.
You know?
Okay. But I mean, how much of what you sing, even on My World, where there's a lot of there's still a lot of pain in your voice, which I've seen a lot of black commentators say you sing for them. How much of it is rooted to race?
Yeah. That's people like you who read all kinds of shit into my music. I mean, I have to be honest with you.
Okay. Know? Fair enough.
You know, I mean, I what I do. Again, I'm right back at that same. I'm a singer, man, and to be a good singer, or to be an exceptional singer, or it's just like being a good actor, an exceptional actor, or an actress.
All right.
You've got to make yourself, whatever you're doing, be believable. You've got to make people become a part of whatever you're doing to the point wherein if it's sad, they sit there and cry their eyes out.
Right.
If it's something that is mean, they get pissed off and mad. They forget all about that. It's just a story.
Right.
See what I mean?
Right.
That's what you got to do. So the name of the game, as if for me as a singer, if I sing you a love song, I'm supposed to make you want to, hey, man, I mean, you know, I want the woman is supposed to, whatever you ask her to do, she's supposed to do it. You understand what I mean?
Yes, I do.
You see, so on the other hand, if I'm singing what I say, a song that's got some rhythm in it, then, you know, I want you to move, you know, and that's what I'm supposed to make you do, and you do.
But when you do something like Hey Mister on that album, you also sing for poor people who are not getting a good deal.
Yeah. Well, you know, like I said, that album was all part of the, you know, a
statement.
Oh, excuse me, sir. I got to tell you, I'm going to have to get out of here because I got a 10 o'clock hit. And it is now, according to my watch,
it's
9:26. I hear my other phone ringing. That's all right. What you think of that.
Okay. Can I ask you one more question then?
Sir, okay.
I've just bought these couple of box sets of your, as well as your new album. I bought the Uh-Huh set, and I bought the Atlantic set.
Right.
Which of these sets or what do you think contains, the, if I want to get some of our younger readers to just go check you out, which of those sets contains your best
Atlantic,
music?
Because that's a lot of stuff that I did when you know, in the earlier part, and it's different phases of me.
Right.
You know, I even got even a country and western song in there, so go keep moving on.
Oh, Hank Snow.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
You see what I mean? So I think that if they want to kind of get a different thing of how the different little things that I go through, they could take the Atlantic thing. They're going to hear some love songs. They're going to hear some jazz. They're going to hear some country and western. It's a good thing they could use that.
All right. And myself, if I want to play a song after you leave us, what do you want me to play? No Use Crying?
Yeah, that's a good one. Do that, baby. We both like that, huh?
You bet.
All right, baby.
Thank you very much.
All right,
bye-bye.
Hi, Joe Jackson here again. And if you want to read the article that came out of that chat you just heard, check my website, joejacksoninterviewer.com. Also, if you'd like to be notified of shows that focus on hundreds more interviews like the one you just heard, why not subscribe to the Joe Jackson Interviews podcast? Either way, thank you for listening.